Gathering Seeds. Written by Niraj Sikki. Read by Opal Song. Fandom Mo Dao Zusha, or The Untamed. Rating Teen. Relationships Jiangsu Sanren, Yu Zhuan. Jiangsu Sanren, Jiang Fengmian. Jiangsu Sanren, Yu Zhuan, Jiang Fengmian. Jiang Fengmian, Meng Shi. Also tagged for No One Likes Jing Guangshan, Illegitimate Children, and Found Family. Wei Wuxian's life might have been different if his mother had gone onwards to visit the Jiang sect, following a glimpse of that handsome young man she'd met so briefly early on. But in the end, she decided to go a different way. She ended up in Yunmeng after all, but that young man, a servant, had already gotten another woman to be his wife, and Jiangsu Sanren was nobody's mistress. She'd made that clear once already. The Jiang sect leader's wife liked her on the spot. Madame Jin conveys her thanks to you for putting her husband in her place, though regretfully that the doctors say his vital root will eventually recover from your well-placed kicks. And the sect leader liked her too. She made him laugh, and he liked the child she'd brought with her, a baby as vivacious as she was. She stayed there a few years, until the sect leader stopped merely looking a little too long and started looking at her instead of looking at his wife. That was unacceptable. It was clear that she wouldn't be able to stay much longer without tearing them apart. Still, she wasn't one to leave without making an impact. She took both the sect leader and his wife to bed for a tumble that lasted a week and left while they were still stunned, speechless. Her only regret was how her little Aying cried for his Shuqie and his Jiang Cheng, who he'd grown close to. But she told him that he'd see them again one day, and soon enough he found his smile again. That was her baby boy, forgetting pain once it healed, just like her. She refused to give his name to her precious son, but she was reluctant to give her own, having learned to her sorrow that this world of men was unkind to women and even less kind to the fatherless. In the end, she kept the courtesy name the Jiang sect leader had given him and stolen the surname of the handsome man who'd once offered it to her. She rather liked the idea of stealing someone's name because of a rashly made promise. As she'd expected, it made it easier to pretend she was a widow than a silly girl who'd been deceived. An irritating pretense, but a necessary one, in this ridiculous world of men. And so her Aying became Wei Wuxian. She traveled around, aimless, knowing there was something out there for her to do, but not entirely sure what. And it gnawed at her right up until the day her little Wei Wuxian ran over to her, shouting, "Anyang! Anyang! I found a brother!" She'd assumed he was joking. He often tried to play tricks on her, and she played tricks on him right back. But in fact, he wasn't. Little Meng Yao, a few years older than her son, had just enough of the same features to make the blood connection obvious. Jiangsu Sanren sighed for the stupidity of her past self. So many good suitors, and she just had to pick the worst of the lot, hadn't she? And crouched down with a smile. "Where do you live?" she asked. "Where's your mother?" Meng Yao refused to tell her at first, no matter how many sweets and toys she plied him with. She didn't want to embarrass him by following him home, so she rented a small house and waited. In the end, Wei Wuxian tried to beat up a passing boy for calling Meng Yao the son of a whore, and Meng Yao had only been able to stop him by confessing that it was true. "Well, that won't do," Jiangsu Sanren said, feeling rather cross about the whole thing. "Come on, lead me to her, or else I'll go knocking at every brothel in town asking for a girl surnamed Meng." Meng Shi was as pretty as a peony and graceful as an orchid, and upon meeting her for the first time, Jiangsu Sanren, who was quite used to beauties, blurted out, "He's not only a dog, but a fool." Sadly, Meng Shi preferred men. Disappointing previous experiences or no, but she was nevertheless amenable to Jiangsu Sanren's proposal of living together, night hunting being more than profitable enough to buy Meng Shi's life contract from the brothel within a few months, if it meant that Meng Yao would have the chance to learn to cultivate at the foot of a proper master. In that way, Jiangsu Sanren got herself a friend and Wei Wuxian a brother, and felt quite pleased with it. "We don't need him," she declared, full of wine and good company, arm around Meng Shi's shoulders as the other woman rolled her eyes at her. "Ah, Yao, forget everything you've ever heard about him. He's a waste of space, a wretch, a dog. Like a purebred horse, he's only fit for breeding, which means your mother and I got the best part of him already." Meng Yao covered his eyes and groaned dramatically, and then went back to arguing with Wei Wuxian as to which one of them deserved to be called Gege. Meng Yao took the position that he was older, with Wei Wuxian arguing that he'd become a disciple first. Not that two small children who were also brothers made for much of a sect. The thought caught something in Jiangsu Sanren's brain, and the next morning she grinned at Meng Shi and said, full of mischief, "I wonder how many others there are out there." "No," Meng Shi said firmly. "Night hunting alone is dangerous enough, and barely enough to pay for our expenses. It'd stretch a bit further if Mistress Meng were a little less accustomed to silk. And anyway, who even knows how many there might be?" "There can't be that many," Jiangsu Sanren said. "For all that he's scum, he's also lazy. Look at both our boys trying to get up in the morning." "Your boy can't get up in the morning," Meng Shi said. "Mine likes to have some time to himself. There's a difference. Also, you can't blame everything you dislike on him when it's obviously a trait inherited from you." "Can't I? I think I can. Anyways, as I was saying, he's lazy. He stayed with me nearly 2 years and would have stayed longer if I hadn't cottoned on to him. And you, nearly 4. And of course he doesn't have any at home for fear of his wife. No, I'm telling you, a dozen at most." "You're only counting the women he supported," Meng Shi pointed out. "What about the ones that only happened once, or the married wives?" Jiangsu Sanren dismissed these issues with a wave of her hand. "Let's start with the ones like us. There's got to be some other young would-be cultivators out there." There were, although little Mo Xuan Yu, their next find, had been so terrified and tormented by all his relatives until he'd had the personality of a bowl of quivering steamed pudding. He wouldn't make for much of a cultivator, Jiangsu Sanren divined at once. But even Meng Shi had to admit that taking him with them was better than leaving him back in the Mo household. His own mother had sold him to them for a gold coin, calling him a disappointment as she did, and Jiangsu Sanren had muttered for the next Shichen about some people deserving the scum they hooked up with, until Meng Shi started making sad noises just to make her shut up. Damn, that woman was good. The next few they found were quite happy at home, It seemed that Jingguangshan threw girls more often than boys, and that girls were able to live quite well on the promise of their children having a cultivator grandfather, so they didn't need much help. And Changsa Sanren had just given up on bothering to find any more. Three children with three very different personalities being rather a lot to deal with, on top of night hunting and keeping Meng Shi in her silks, when the Jiang sect finally caught up with her. Apparently, they'd been looking. Who'd have guessed? "You had that one and turned it down?" Meng Shi hissed, her eyes full of the admittedly rather handsome Jiang sect leader. "What is wrong with you?" "Many things, probably," Changsa Sanren admitted, and under the circumstances let herself be seduced back to Yunmeng with the promise of free housing, childcare, and all expenses paid. Plus Wei Wuxian screaming, "Shujie! Chung Chung!" at the top of his lungs at the first sight of a lotus flower sigil. They'd stayed first at the Lotus Pier, but in the end got their own house. They'd gotten used to it the past few years. And anyway, living with a friend was better than living with a lover. Fighting over mundane things like laundry and "did you remember to dust behind the shelf?" was a lot easier when you didn't have to think about being sexy at some future date. Meng Shi never did get the hang of having a real job. Teaching music and flirting to all the local children in equal measure, and perhaps most importantly, she watched the children whenever Tianxia Sanren went out night hunting along with the Jiangs, along with the other things she did with the two of them when they were temporarily unburdened by the presence of nearly a dozen small, prying eyes. At first, Tianxia Sanren was concerned about a repeat of last time, but it turned out Meng Shi was pretty good for that, too. Madame Yu wasn't as bothered about her husband sharing a bed with the witty, charming, pretty-as-a-flower Meng Shi when it meant she got to have Changsa Sanren to herself in her own. As life went, it was pretty good, Changsa Sanren was willing to admit, especially when the discussion conference came around and she was finally able to rid Meng Shi of her remaining illusions. It was a good life, a happy life. And it was something she'd forged with her own two hands. She was very pleased about it. Meng Yao never quite stopped wearing a smiling face that hid daggers, but it was a little easier to forgive his vindictive viciousness once he'd started doing it to defend his younger brothers as well as himself. It was good for him to spend time with Jiang Yanli, whose friendliness and innate goodness routinely caused him to question everything he thought he knew about human nature. They played a great deal of chess, which Jiang Yanli routinely lost with a smile, and in return he reminded her that she was still at the age to be adopted, not to do the adopting herself, which she sometimes forgot. Wei Wuxian finally agreed to Meng Yao's seniority now that he had both Mo Xuanyu and Jiang Cheng to bully and lead around by the nose. He remained as high-spirited and vivacious as he'd ever been, but... and it was probably for the best. His reckless arrogance was tempered by constantly being outsmarted in the first instance by a well-prepared Meng Yao. Mo Xuanyu, the family baby, spent a great deal of time clinging to Jiang Cheng. No one entirely understood why or how their quiet, shy wallflower had gotten attached to someone so abrasive and easily angered. But somehow Jiang Cheng, routinely cursing him as an idiot and a useless good-for-nothing, did more to wash away the scars left over from the Mo household than anything else anyone had ever done. It was good. So when the Wens came to tear it all down, well, none of them were going to put up with that. The end. Thank you. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!